In the mid-50s, two men knocked over a kerosene stove during a fight at a concert. After fleeing the blaze, the guitar player realized he left his beloved Gibson inside. B.B. King then ran in and saved it. He later learned that the fight was over a woman named Lucille, and ever since, his guitars have borne that name. You can find Lucille at the Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
And now, Little Steven's Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
This is the Mighty Manfred, and it's time for your coolest conversations presented by Hard Rock and Little Steven's Underground Garage. Thanks for listening, and please remember to follow, subscribe, rate, and review. Ricky Bird is my guest, and the renowned guitarist is a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductee, along with Joan Jett and the rest of the Blackhearts. His career has also led him to work with a who's who's list of greats, including Paul McCartney, Ringo Starr, Roger Daltrey, Ian Hunter, Smokey Robinson, and others. All the while, he's been pursuing a solo career, and his latest single, Transistor Radio Childhood, is on Wicked Cool Records and a recent Coolest Song in the World. We'll hear some of that now, followed by my chat with Ricky on your Coolest Conversations, presented by Hard Rock in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
Sitting on the stoop, hours at a time.
Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba.
Got the ball game on, it's Yankee 6-2-5. When the last pitch is thrown, I'll quickly flip the dial. Cause whatever cousin Bruce he plays, we're sure to bring a smile. I had a transistor radio childhood. It got me through when nothing else would. Transistor radio childhood. The sounds that I loved then, I still love.
Mighty Manfred here with you in Little Steven's Underground Garage, and for our coolest conversations, my guest is Ricky Bird, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductee, along with other members of Joan Jett and Blackhearts. He's also known as the Recovery Troubadour, and he's played with a who's who's list of greats, including Roger Daltrey, Ian Hunter, Paul McCartney, Ringo Starr, Joe Walsh, Alice Cooper, Dion, and many others. His new digital single, Transistor Radio Childhood, is out on Wicked Cool Records, and it's this week's coolest song in the world. How are you, Ricky?
I'm pretty good, Manfred. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing pretty well. I know we've spoken a couple of times before about your background and growing up, your family life, your daughter. Man, I was looking at your Facebook page, and I saw something I had not seen before. I saw a lot of photos of Charlie, and I thought I should ask you, how is he doing? How's Charlie?
Let's make Charlie famous. Sir Charles of Birdland, you know? Yeah, he's the best. He's the sweetest little guy, and yet he destroyed our dining room chairs. So there you go.
Well, what kind of animal is Charlie?
He's a cat. He's a street cat. He was a rescue. And by the way, he's named after, we got him right around when Charlie Watts passed away. So it was, you know, it had to be. It was meant to be.
It was meant to be, Dad. And how old do you figure Charlie is?
I'm going to say he's probably 4 in April.
Mm-hmm. And have you always been a cat person?
Always. Since I was a little kid in the Bronx, we had two cats in the Bronx. We had a couple, you know, when we moved to Queens when I was 13, a couple in the city. Yep, I love cats. I love all animals. I mean, I love dogs too, but I can't see myself walking a dog in the snow.
No, you'd rather walk a cat in the snow?
No, my cat just goes where he goes, in the bathroom. He doesn't bother me. I like his independence, you know what I mean?
Yeah. What do you see, when the nights are cool, do you wake up in the morning, he's on top of your head? Or does he get under the covers?
He's in various parts of the house. He could be in my daughter's room, he could be downstairs. You know, he's got like 4 perches, like in different windows. And they're all above the heat, so this time of the year, he's always in one of the perches. The best part of Charlie is when I'm typing, I'm on my laptop, you know, writing lyrics and stuff, and he decides to like walk across the, you know, the keyboard.
He's trying to contribute. He wants to contribute.
I'm not sharing publishing with my cat. Let me tell you that right now.
Well, he's always there to help, you know?
He just wants to help.
Our coolest song in the world this week is Transistor Radio Childhood. It's out on Wicked Cool as a digital single. It's taken from the upcoming album, which is, I see this like NYC made. You call it New York City made or NYC made, the upcoming album?
Oh, call it anything you want. I mean, it was NYC made, you know, New York City made.
All right. Well, we'll call it a hit, baby. We'll call it a hit.
I hope so. It's got a good chorus, and you can dance to it.
That's right. It's got a good beat. You can dance to it. Well, when did you get your first transistor radio?
Oh man, I'm gonna say when I was probably about 6 or 7. You know, I've got my first transistor radio. I would venture to guess it was around that time, and that was a huge part of my childhood. In fact, I got a chance to, you know, all those people you mentioned that I played with. I mean, I either toured or recorded or shared a stage at events with these people. Smokey Robinson was one of them. And I went over to Smokey Robinson before the show and I said, you know, when I was a little kid in the Bronx, I'd be up on the roof with my transistor radio listening to Tracks My Tears. And tonight I'm your freaking guitar player. Yeah. So transistor radio, there was always either I was listening to the ball game or I was listening to, you know, the local New York AM stations.
Well, was this a gift when you got the radio at like 6 or whatever?
Yeah, it might have been. Manfred, I don't remember last month. It was probably a gift, or maybe it was a pass down from, you know, my mom or my uncle or somebody, you know. I don't know, but it was very important. It was an important part of my childhood. So whether it was sitting outside up on the roof, you know, the whole bit, it was always listening. And also because of the nature of the radio stations back then, which is a lot like Underground Garage, you would have these famous DJs, Cousin Brucey, as I mentioned in the song, and a bunch of others. And from song, it was just the top 40. So it was from the Stones to Smokey Robinson to I can't think of Trini Lopez to the, you know, it was whatever was the hit. So that's what gave me my wide range of loves in music, you know, and even B.B. King, like just the classic. If B.B. King had a hit, like The Thrill Is Gone, you'd hear that. Later on, I learned to dig deeper.
Right. Well, what inspired you to, let's say, tune in those transistor memories to write a song about it?
I don't know, man. You know, I think you start looking back as you get older, and I just was in one of those moments where I was kind of going back in time and thinking about my childhood, and you know, everything was so simple back then. And I the way I write songs is I sit down with my acoustic, usually my acoustic, and I just start playing a riff or a chord pattern, and then I start kind of mumbling a melody or humming a melody, and then maybe a couple of lines come to me, and you know, maybe I said something that's in that song and I said, well, that's a good subject matter. And I just figured that a lot of people could relate to it because transistor radios were, you know, as part of a lot of people's lives that are of a certain age.
How recent did you come up with the tune?
Oh, man. I think it was one of the last tunes written on the record. You know what it's like. You're a songwriter. So, like, you go, okay, I'm done. That's it. The record is done. And then you sit down with the guitar and then there's another riff and you go, you know, that's not bad. So, and you start writing that. So it was in the last bit. It really took almost more than a year and a half to do this record because of scheduling. Myself and co-producer Bob Stander, who's, you know, we co-produce all my records, and the last couple of songs on the record, so Transistor Radio Childhood, Stay Grateful, what else, we pulled Anna Lee from it was something that I had from my first solo record, Lifer, that I you know, I kind of was looking, hey, is there anything else I have that I didn't use? But Steven, Mr. Van Zandt, he got involved with that one. That's where he started to get involved, you know, a little help with the co-production on those last couple of songs, because I didn't really have any contact with him for the first half of the album. You know, I was just sending, submitting songs. And then I got in touch with him. It's a long story, but it was through Rhapsody in Blues, my Jeff Beck tribute. And that's where we started talking. And then I sent him Transistor Radio and he says, great song, but you got to put this on it. And why don't you try this and try that? And I was like, okay, I love this.
Well, you know, one of the first lines in the tune, it's about, you know, listening to transistor radio. And it was interesting to me is you're not conjuring up music right there at the top, but you're talking about tuning into a Yankees ball game like back in 65.
Yeah, I had to throw that in.
Right. Well, what's that? I was just wondering, is that what like, really good year for the Yankees, or is that just a way to let us know that's when you're listening to the radio, you're first picking up stuff and tuning in to stuff, being aware of what's going on around you radio wise?
No, baby, it just rhymed. I freeform, you know, I just write stuff down and see if it fits or it doesn't fit. I wasn't thinking to say the Yankee thing. It just came out and I wrote it down. I went, yeah, let's keep that. Because like I said, I lived in the Bronx till I was 13 and then moved to Queens, Manhattan, you know? So I just wanted, and I'll always be a Yankee fan. And it all fits because it's all from that time frame. I mean, I heard the Stones, or I watched the Stones on the Ed Sullivan Show as a little kid, 9 years old. In 66, right? That's where I first saw those bands. And I went, well, how long has this been going on? I want to do that for a living. Well, I didn't know what it was a living or not, but and it turns out it's almost a living. But that was the time frame, you know. So 65, it just rhymed.
Well, you mentioned working with Bob Stander and him producing, and so he's got Parcheesi Studios. That's where you recorded the song. Is that correct or not?
Yeah, we recorded the whole album at Parcheesi Studios, and then when Stephen got involved, so this is Stephen goes to me. I'd rather you didn't sing backgrounds on you sing all your own backgrounds, and I just do it because it's quicker, and you know who sings better backgrounds to me than me, right? And the studio was kind of out in Long Island. It's a little bit of a trek. So Stephen said, why don't you come into the city? Let's put together a couple of singers. It's all about transistor radio childhood. That's where it started. And also Sweet Bird of Ute, Y-O-U-T-E. Those two songs we did in one day. So we went up to the Wicked Cool Studios and we gathered up Stephen, Willie Nile, Mark Ribbler, and Jeff Kazee. So if you look at the liner notes, I call them the Baba Black Sheep Singers. Why, you may ask?
Well, I have an inkling because I've listened to the song.
Right. And the funny thing about that song about working with Stephen, how I got to know what it was like working with Stephen, he said, when we were mixing, he said, bring those Babas up. And I'm like, don't you think they're too loud? He said, no, bring them up. They're not loud enough. So we went back and forth about five or six times until he texted me and he said, someday you'll learn to trust me, he wrote. So that's why you got those loud Babas up there. But, you know, what do I know?
Well, talking about those guys, you know, Will and I, when it was a singer-songwriter, Mark Ribbler, he is Stephen's music director for the Disciples of Soul. And what was the third gentleman's name you mentioned?
Jeff Kazee was the longtime keyboard player for Southside Johnny and the Asbury Jukes, who I did spend a year with at one point, a cup of coffee, as they say in baseball, a quick cup of coffee. But Jeff plays on all my records. So, you know, Stephen said, gather up some people. Let's do some sing. I didn't sing on it. I took my original vocals off that background. And it was just the four of them.
Okay. And did you know Willie and Mark
prior
to that?
Yeah, of course. I've done a bunch of events. Well, not a bunch. I've done a few events with Mark, a wonderful cat. And Willie Nile, I love to death. He's just a great guy. He's so enthusiastic about other people's music, which I find is a great trait in a musician because, you know, some people are very protective or just like, you know, if you're not talking about them, they don't want to hear it.
Well, let's talk just a tad more about Bob. So with Bob Stander, he's playing bass on the recording?
Yeah, Bob's playing bass.
And how do you know Bob?
Oh, my God. I know Bob. I'm going to say 40 years. I mean, from when we were like, you know, young adults recording demos, he's always been a producer and an engineer, various studios. And when I started doing this again, I called Bob because I know he gets great sounds and we work really well together because I have like, you know, my mind is filled with ideas, but I don't know how to even turn on the board. Right. So I just say, hey Bob, can you give me that sound Jimmy Page had on the second Zeppelin record, fourth track in the third bar, you know? And he says, okay, you know, and he finds it. And he's an amazing musician, great guitar player, great bass player. And that's Bob Standish. So we've been doing this a long time together. We have a language, you know?
Cool. Well, in a moment, I want us to take a listen to that instrumental that you mentioned, the Rhapsody in Blue, the one for Jeff, but in the introduction, I was mentioning your moniker as Recovery Troubadour. Do you have any upcoming gigs related to that coming up?
Yes. I would like to get back to what I was doing before the pandemic, which was going to treatment facilities and doing my recovery music groups, which is where those two previous records came from, Clean Getaway and Sobering Times. That's the songs that I would do. I do these. Yeah, I did a thing at the Rock Hall a couple months ago. Me and Jorma Kekkonen. We did a thing at the Rock Hall, a recovery show. Korkkonen, right? He told me how to pronounce it. I was like, every time I said his name, I said it wrong. But I'm doing something. It's a thing at the City Winery, and it's for recovery and the LGBT community, for, you know, scholarships and such to get people into treatment. There's a lot of cool people on it. Willie's on it. Willie Niles on it. Hank Azaria is on it, the actor. So I'm looking forward to meeting him and talking about the Birdcage. And a lot of other really cool people are on it. So yeah, whenever somebody asks me to do that stuff, I run, don't walk.
Well, just thinking about more sort of rock lined rock gigs before the album comes out on March the 28th, or do you have a release show around that time?
No, I mean, I don't have a band, you know. I said to Steven, I said, call me when you have one of those like old soul lineup, you know, those soul tours where you have like a great, amazing band and then artists come up and do one or two songs. I'm in, but to put together a band, I don't know. I'd have to be really pushed in that direction. I mean, I'll do anything acoustic. Like I could go anywhere and play some of these songs acoustic. I don't know if I'm going to put a band together. It's a lot of work, but I love playing live, but I'm lucky that I get called to do these cool events.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's talk some about this, this instrumental, your tribute, Jeff Beck tribute tune. It's Rhapsody in Blue, one for Jeff. I mentioned earlier you played with all these amazing people over the course of your career. Did you ever play with Jeff Beck or get to meet him?
I got to meet him twice. My wife, Carol Kay, did his publicity, and he played here in at Jones Beach, and we went back. He did also played at the Iridium in Manhattan on Broadway, the jazz, Les Paul's old jazz club. And yeah, I went back and met him and talked to him. He was very sweet. You know, just really a lovely guy. And I was floored to meet him. I don't know what else to say. I mean, he was like my favorite guitar player of that. You know, Keith Richards, obviously, rhythm guitar. Jeff Beck plays, nobody plays like Jeff Beck. You know, like people of a certain age, you could, if you listen to my playing, you hear a little Clapton, maybe a little Paul Kossoff, a little Jimmy Page. You know, there's a little, it's the people we grew up on, right? It all becomes us. But it's very difficult to find anybody that plays like Jeff Beck. He just had it, he played from a different side of his brain. So when he passed away, as you know, it came as a shock. It was like out of nowhere, right? And again, I just sat down with my guitar and I started humming that melody. And I said, you know what? I've never done an instrumental before. And I just, let me put this together and see what it sounds like. And I'm really proud of it. I think it came out really well. And I wasn't trying to copy his playing. I mean, I was just trying to do me sort of nodding to his playing, you know, like a tip of the hat, as you would say.
And is this track going to be, it's already been, it's available now as a digital single, but will it be as part of the upcoming album?
Oh yeah, it's on the record for sure. Yeah, there were a couple of songs that came out in 23 as singles on Wicked Cool. And they're all on the record and a bunch of new stuff. So if you liked any of those songs like Alien or Luann, or there when they came out on and you heard them in the Underground Garage, they're going to be on the record also. And I think the cover, I love the cover. Did you see the cover yet?
No, I haven't. The album?
Oh, yeah, it's badass, man. New York City.
Why don't you describe it? Describe it to me.
It's me sitting on a porch on McDougal Street. Not a porch, I mean a stoop. which I spent many years when I was a kid sitting on stoops, right? The only direction Stephen said to me was, "Don't smile." So I didn't smile. So it's cool, you know, it goes with the picture. It goes with the picture of the whole thing of New York City made. And also I was just in that mood, you know, I was just in the mood of, I was kind of pissed off about, the posts I would see about people bad mouthing New York City when they don't know, you know, what they're talking about. And I was just like trying to make a statement. It's like, yeah, man, I'm from New York City, you know, New York City made. And there's a picture on the inside of the album where we were walking from one place to another, and we were right by the Cafe Wa. Great photographer, Christina Aragoni, who's Willie Nile's wife, by the way. And we were on in the middle of the street, right across the street from the Cafe Wa or McDougal Street. And I said, since I've been working a lot with Stephen in the last couple of weeks, let me do a Silvio picture. And I kind of just gave it that vibe. And I said, I love that. Put that on the inside.
Wow. Ricky, I want to thank you for joining me on our Coolest Conversations.
I appreciate it. I love talking to you. And every time I talk to you, I say, dude, when you're in New York, give me a ring. We'll go for egg cream.
But when I'm back, you'll get a ring.
Egg cream, baby.
A ring for some egg cream. Okay, we're going to give a listen now to Rhapsody in Blues, one for Jeff. It's Ricky Bird and Little Stevens Underground Garage. Of Rhapsody and Blues, one for Jeff. That's Ricky Bird in Little Stevens Underground Garage. I'm the Mighty Manfred, and thanks again to Ricky for joining me on our Coolest Conversations. Thanks also to Sammy Semenza and Kurt Baker for producing and editing our podcast. Danish duo The Corettes, their latest album is called The Soul of the Fabulous Corettes, and it features the track California, which includes backing vocals from Lala Brooks. She sang lead on hit singles with the Crystals back in the 60s. Corettes lead guitarist and lead singer Flavia Curry will join us next time around to tell us all about this release. That's your next Coolest Conversations, presented by Hard Rock and Little Stevens Underground Garage.
Buddy, you're a boy. Make a big noise playing in the street. I'm gonna be a big man someday. You got mud on your face, you big disgrace. Kicking your can all over the place.
Some things are better when they rock. The Seminole Hard Rock Hotels and Casinos rock around the clock with nonstop casino action, rooms fit for the king, pools, spas, restaurants, and clubs for every taste and temptation. Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Tampa or Hollywood, Florida. We will rock you.